The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's a great honor for me to be at the US Congress and speak to you and all Americans. Against all odds and doom and gloom scenarios, Ukraine didn't fall. Ukraine is alive and kicking. We defeated Russia in the battle for minds of the world. This struggle will define in what world our children and grandchildren will live, and then their children and grandchildren. It will define whether it will be a democracy of Ukrainians and for Americans, for all.
That was, of course, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky giving a defiant address to Congress yesterday, a unifying moment for both Republicans and Democrats, despite concerns that the red side of the aisle might oppose future unlimited funding proposals for further support for Ukraine's war effort. Also, an 800-page report will be released today by the January 6th committee, concluding that Donald Trump criminally plotted to overturn his 2020 election defeat. For more on this, I'm joined, a regular, of course, on the Pat Kenny Show, Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Good morning, Terry. I don't know what time it is with you. Thank you for joining us. First of all, what was the significance of Zelensky's visit? Was it kind of to reach out to the American people?
It was to reach out to the American people, Ivan, and it was also sort of a valedictorian for Nancy Pelosi, who was very involved in supplying aid to Ukraine. This is basically her last act as Speaker of the House. But it was also to rally the American people. The Americans are starting to get tired of the war, especially those, as you said, who sit on the red side of Congress. And it was sort of like to say, hey, we're doing this. We don't need you to put boots on the ground, but we need your help.
I was reading that Putin was out yesterday really saying he was doubling down on everything, an extra 500,000 troops, unlimited fiscal resources, technical resources, hunkering down for a long war. Where do you think the body politics is in Washington in relation to their appetite to match that?
Well, I know at the Republican side, especially some of the more conservative members or the alt-right, have said that they either want to stop any aid to Ukraine, they want an accounting of where the money is going to go, and they, especially some of the right-wing media, is portraying the Ukrainians as the bad guys. So I think Zelensky coming in, speaking to the American people in English, not through a translator, was meant to represent himself, and it was meant to try to get more money out of the United States, more aid out of the United States. And I think it was also significant that this was his first trip out of Ukraine since the beginning of the war.
So if you could just look into 2023, we've had 300 days of war. Do you think that basically, there will be a bipartisan underlining of what Zelensky wants after this visit?
Well, I know the Democrats are trying to put as much fun, and Democrats and some Republicans, or the Republican leadership in the Senate at least, are trying to put together an aid package now before this Congress is dismissed and we get the new Congress in, so that we have at least a year to continue the support to Ukraine and then let that battle be fought late 2023, early 2024. So that was some of what the controversy was among some of the Republicans, was that why are you throwing all this money in now? We can talk about it next year. The feeling among Democrats and Republican leaders was, let's get the money in, let's make sure that we're in for a year, and then we can take it from there.
All right. Simultaneously today, this large report is going to be released by the January 6th committee, of course, the day of the riots and so on. What does it conclude about Donald Trump?
Well, it concludes, the big conclusion that we got from the summary report that was released earlier this week was that he was in a conspiracy for insurrection, that he summoned a crowd to the Capitol grounds. He riled them up. and sent them away. It also shows that this was not just a one-off event, that it was a series of events leading from before the November 2020 election, pushing the big lie, trying various schemes, and I'll use the word schemes in the American sense of the word, that nefarious schemes, that he was going to try to overturn the election, and that people were telling him, or responsible people in his administration, you lost. There's no way you're going to win. But he was following the advice of people like Rudy Giuliani, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, to continue to fight to try to overturn the results of the election.
So where does that go after the report is published? Does it get involved in a criminal process?
Maybe, maybe not. They made the referrals on four charges, including the insurrection, also theft of honest services for the government, etc. That's been referred to the Department of Justice. It is up to the Department of Justice to decide whether they will follow up with criminal charges. There are several investigations at the federal level by the Department of Justice going on to various events. There's the documents that were recovered from Mar-a-Lago. There's this on the insurrection. There might even be some tax implications now, since his tax returns were finally released, as well as state level. So right now, that report does not mean there will be a criminal prosecution. All it means is that they referred it, and it sort of sets the table and paints a picture as we move into 2024.
Can you give us a timeline on that, Terry? Because, you know, as we move forward into 23, 24, the Republican nomination process will be continuing. Will they coincide?
It might. I mean, and again, this is just me reading tea leaves, so take it with whatever grain of salt you want, is we know that Jack Smith, the special prosecutor appointed by the Department of Justice to look specifically into the Mar-a-Lago case, for instance, he tends to work quick. So we should know whether there will be charges relatively soon. Right now, Donald Trump is the only Republican who has announced that he's running in 2024. There are several other people, most notably Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who have made motions towards it. However, we've been waiting. The investigation has been going on for 2 years now. So could it stretch into the nominating season? That's a possibility. I think a more likely possibility would be that any criminal charges or any trial would probably be later in 2024.
Finally, Terry, I want to throw a curveball at you. Next year is the 25th anniversary of the Belfast Agreement. I think Joe Biden is certainly the most directly hands-on, pro-Irish, you know, recognizing his ancestry and so on. The appointment of Joe Kennedy III as the special envoy, we still have no devolved government, no assembly. Do you see an initiative emerging there?
It's hard to say. I mean, again, unfortunately, in the United States, Irish issues tend to rise and fall. So at least the appointment of the envoy, that didn't really burst above the chatter here. However, the fact that Biden picked Joe Kennedy III, obviously the son of Joe Kennedy II, who was a special envoy back in the 90s, I think that's symbolic. I also think that they just want to... I think Joe Biden wants to assure that that the devolved government gets back up, that Stormont is operational, and then see what happens from there.
All right. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Terry Sheridan of WSHU in New York. Thank you for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.